Good morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This morning we have a tight show for you with In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a podcast to listen to while you're lathered with soap suds, and two pre-recorded interviews. The first interview comes from the City of Montreal in the boroughs, where we'll speak to Clement Badra, organizer of this year's flower distribution. The second interview is about a man called Phrase, who has been playing some pretty fantastic music, including a funny one called Fanny Pack, about having too many things in his fanny pack. We'll hear from Phrase later in the show. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and after some music, we'll hear from Naomi with her poetry segment and wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Plant the seed. Twisted words, what's underneath? Dream on, Sally, dream on. Out of breath, a time of day, running up the highlights of yesterday's. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Will one of these days, when the dreams are real, will you be satisfied with how you feel? Dream on, Sally, dream on. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Thoughts inside, people like to see you quiet with a smile. Dream on, Sally, dream on. And leaves are falling up to your nose. Got to keep on dreaming till the wind starts to blow. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Will one of these days, when the dreams are real, will you be satisfied with how you feel? Dream on, Sally, dream on. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Thank you. you feel. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Dream on, Sally, dream on. Dream on, Sally, dream on.
What if everybody, everybody saw more than their sight? That what you wait in me find in your eyes. So everybody, everybody fight.
They fight
just to feel right. So everybody, everybody fall.
They fall.
Falls for their own. Outside, world's on fire, bake a cake. Snowing outside, world's on ice, learn to skate. Skate. What if everybody, everybody flew? Everybody lead and be safe when they fall. And everybody, everybody dance to their own,
to their own
special song. And if the music's pure, there ain't no right, no.
Everybody's lost and looking down to order things on brightest screens, from double double burgers to diamond rings. But it's time to patch, the holes are sink, the ship's no match for the open sea. Everybody jump in and sing the count with me.
2, 3.
What if everybody, everybody saw more than their sight? Then everybody, everybody see the glow of the bright side. Step outside, share a smile and celebrate. Come on. 'Cause rain or shine, fire or ice, there's life today.
The Adam's apple is neither a fruit, a vegetable, or, unless your name is Adam, accurate in its name. Today on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we look at the ultimate lump in your throat and answer, what is an Adam's apple?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, beautiful, lovely and soapy people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower, but really you can listen to it anywhere you want.
Have you ever wondered if plants have feelings?
Or how much wood a woodchuck would chuck if a woodchuck could indeed chuck wood?
Or why our hair turns grey?
If you've wondered the answer to any of those questions, or if you're just a curious person, you've come to the right place.
We have answered all of those questions and we are about to answer one more.
So step into the cubicle with us as we answer... what is an Adam's apple?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
So this question came in from a Caroline Vickers from Wisconsin, and it's a goodie.
Caroline Vickers on the throaty questions. Do you know, having an Adam's apple is something that I've always just sort of accepted and never really questioned. Like, do you remember
when you first noticed you had one?
So I don't have a really pronounced Adam's apple, but this is a fun fact about me. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, is that I was a professional choir boy as a kid. I went to a special choir school.
I can't believe this.
I sang two services every day. And as a boy chorister, as a boy soprano, we would often sing in the full choir formation with the men, like the senior members of the choir. And I just remember, like, obviously, like, you're watching how people are moving their mouths and how they're articulating their lips. And, like, I remember seeing these massive bulging Adam's apples, just going like, what the fuck is that? Like, is that a really pronounced throat muscle?
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, like, you know, you see some lads, it looks like they have actually, like, swallowed an actual apple.
Yeah.
And Adam must be furious about it because maybe he was looking forward to it.
But like, come here, if you've never noticed your Adam's apple, if you can't, like, pinpoint when you kind of noticed you had an Adam's apple, did you notice your voice break? Like, did you just wake up one morning and turn from a squeaky Marcus to a deep Marcus? Or did it just happen all of a sudden? Or did it happen over a long period of time?
No, do you know what? I noticed my voice breaking more through singing than I did through speaking. Like, I don't have any really enduring memories.
So it wasn't like an overnight thing?
No, I don't think it is for many people. But I just remember, you know, one day being able to hit ridiculously high notes as a boy soprano. And then the next, like, I was playing loads of guitar at the time and everything. And
next thing you were...
No, all of a sudden...
Today is going to be the day that you're going to bring it back.
No, like, generally, I started playing guitar when I was, like, 11. And that's, like, you know, kind of a normal enough time for a boy's voice to start breaking. And I went from having perfect pitch, being able to sing, like, unaccompanied, like, sight reading, everything, to my entire vocal range just completely changing. And I think that's really what kind of endures in my head as my voice breaking. And now I have, like, I have a very deep, deep voice, but... I think that
puberty is just the maddest thing, isn't it?
Puberty is wild.
It's so gas as well, because, like, when you're going through puberty, all your friends are too, because, you know, they're all the same age as you. But, like, puberty is almost like Fight Club. Rule one of puberty: you don't talk about puberty.
It is, like, genuinely, it's like, what a fucking hormonal tornado to be swept into. Like, do you know what? Looking back, like, I'm going to be 30 in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure that I'm no longer pubescent. Like, but looking back at, like, 13, 14-year-old Marcus, I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, do you know what? It's like, when guys are like, oh, man, I don't understand how, like, girls act because they're hormonal or whatever. It's like, man, like, do you remember when you were pubescent and your hormones were making you, like, that's mad. Like, fucking... teenage boys are terrifying. I'm terrifying. I'm terrified of myself. It's crazy. But yeah, not allowed to talk about puberty. Not allowed to talk about, you know, getting hairy in places that you weren't previously hairy before. Not allowed to talk about getting spots on your back and sack and crack. Not to, no, you're like, Do you remember, actually, like, obviously I'm talking very much from a boy's perspective. Right. I've just gone, like, on a big rant of self-discovery for the last couple of minutes. But, like, do you remember where you were when you learned about, like, the birds and the bees and puberty and all that kind of stuff?
I actually don't remember, like, the event of finding out about the birds and bees or, like, when it happened. But something far more traumatic is ingrained in my memory, and that's how I found out about Santa.
Really? We've jumped from like, you know, lads discovering their own sacks to old man with the sack.
Well, how I found out about Santa, first off, for anybody who's listening, Santa is obviously real, and this was my brother playing a horrible prank on me.
Right.
But this is the first time that I found out about the conspiracy that Santa isn't real. I remember my mom and my brother Shane, my older brother Shane, Shane's 1 year older than me, were sitting in the sitting room just having a chat or whatever.
Yeah.
They were talking about Christmas presents or something like that.
Having a chat or having the chat?
No, just having a chat. Shane okay. was in maybe, like, I found out about Santa far too late, to be honest, embarrassingly late.
Like, but what age?
Like, no, I say I was maybe about 11, okay? 11, well, 12 okay. maybe. And Shane was 1 year older than me, and I walked in and they were obviously talking about Christmas presents or something, and I walked in and they kind of went silent, and Mom's like, Shane, 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 Shane. And Shane was like, I sat down on the couch and Shane goes, shut up, Mom. She's like 12. She obviously knows. And I was like, Mom looked at me and she goes, do you know Tara? And I was like, yes. And I left and I went
but
up to my
didn't
room.
Know.
I didn't know. And I cried my eyes out. Yeah, very traumatic. Very traumatic. I was like, God. No, my whole world is crashing down.
Right. Okay. So we've talked about the world crashing realization of becoming an adult and puberty. And
do you remember getting the talk?
About?
Puberty.
Puberty. Yeah, my parents were pretty open about it. Like, I had informational books. Pamphlets.
Oh
no! Like, you know, like my parents were fairly responsible in telling me, well, they're just kind of warning me about the horrors
of puberty.
Yeah.
Anyway, puberty is in fact the perfect place to start with this question, because Adam's apples form during puberty.
Okay, but before we get into the why and honestly who Adam is, what exactly is an Adam's apple?
The Adam's apple is a chunk of bony cartilage that surrounds the larynx, i.e. the voice box.
Bony cartilage. Are they like a Boney M tribute band or something? No, so bony cartilage is like, so the same stuff that makes up your ears and your nose.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Now, the reason we have one in the first place is kind of a little uncertain.
Surely there has to be some kind of scientific reasoning.
Okay, so like the appearance of a prominent Adam's apple has everything to do with larynx and thyroid cartilage, which I kind of mentioned previously.
Yeah.
The larynx is an organ in the neck of mammals and certain other organisms that facilitate breathing. It protects the trachea against food aspiration and plays a critical role in sound production. Due to the last reason, it's also commonly referred to as the voice box.
So just to kind of break all of that down, the Adam's apple is cartilage that surrounds the voice box.
Correct. Now, on the surface of the larynx, there are six type sections of cartilage, of which three of them are paired while the remaining three are unpaired, which makes a total of 9 cartilage areas, which provide structural support to the larynx and make up the laryngeal skeleton. The laryngeal skeleton, not too sure how to pronounce
any,
that.
Any throat experts out there? Holla!
But out of the unpaired cartilages, the thyroid cartilage is the largest and is directly responsible for the presence of the Adam's apple.
So cartilage on the surface of the larynx, the thyroid cartilage, that's the largest and forms the Adam's apple,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But that doesn't explain why only men have them. Is it because they're Adam's?
Well, actually, so both boys and girls are born with larynxes.
Unfortunately.
But when boys hit puberty... Oh, he's going to be sorry he said that.
Oh, God, no, I take it back.
But yeah, both boys and girls are born with larynxes. But when boys hit puberty, their voice boxes grow in size significantly more than in girls as their testosterone levels increase.
So the enlarged voice box obviously results in more resonance and a deepening of the voice. Is
correct,
that?
Correct. Yeah. So this results in the cracking of boys' voices and a prominent Adam's apple.
So can women have an Adam's apple if say they just happen to genetically have a large voice box or like more testosterone in their kind of pubescent teeth.
Yes, women too can have Adam's apples. In fact, both boys and girls are born with Adam's apples, but it's just not as noticeable in women. This may be due to a number of reasons. It could be a genetic trait or an anatomical anomaly. Unfortunately, the presence of an Adam's apple in women is sometimes considered unwomanly, as it's commonly identified as a characteristic feature of an adult man. As a result, some women choose to undergo a surgery to have the size of their Adam's apple reduced. This process is called, bear with me for this one,
go on,
chondrolaryngoplasty.
Yeah, chondrolaryngoplasty.
Chondrolaryngeal. Anyway, this surgery, like all surgeries, has some potential risks associated with it.
Right, I see. Yeah. So now we know what an Adam's apple is. It's cartilage surrounding the larynx.
Yes.
We know why they are mostly seen on men or associated with men or masculinity. The testosterone means a larger voice box and a deeper cracked voice.
Exactly.
But one question that you've answered, or that you haven't answered yet, which, to be honest, is the one thing that I really wanted to find out about. Who the hell is Adam, and why do we have his apple?
Okay, so almost all of our body parts have names that somehow sound biological, like the brain, heart, lungs, stomach, kidneys, etc. Although it's an entirely subjective statement, the name Adam's apple definitely kind of stands out. So, like, what do you think the reasoning is?
I'm just trying to think of, like, famous Adams throughout history.
Okay, Adams that may have been associated with an apple.
Well, like, the first thing that jumps into my head is, like, Adam and Eve and
absolutely
the Garden of Eden.
That is exactly
like,
it.
Literally, you know, they're hanging around and a snake is like, "Here, lads, I know you live in paradise, but I've got some tasty fruit on the tree you're not allowed to touch. Go on." And Adam's like, nah, I can't be doing that. But then Eve, who's made from his rib, literally, she walks back in and she's like, "What are you guys talking about? I got some fruit off the forbidden tree. What's up?" And then humanity was doomed.
Well, that is folklore according to Marcus. But yes, that is why the Adam's apple is called the Adam's apple. So Adam, the first human according to the creation myth of the Abrahamic religions.
Abrahamic religions being Catholicism, Judaism and Islam.
Correct. Had a piece of an apple, the forbidden fruit, as Marcus said, stuck in his throat. So all men who are essentially the descendants of Adam and Eve have that lump in their throat as evidence of the event.
Wow, okay, so...
So Adam ate the apple, he got a bit stuck in his throat, that formed the Adam's apple, and all of you men, as a direct result of Adam saying yes to the evils of the forbidden fruit, now have Adam's apples.
There you go, so that's we have it. So the Adam's apple is an enlarged larynx covered in cartilage, and it's called Adam's apple to remind you not to be a bollocks.
Exactly.
There you go.
Case in point.
So any Adam's apple facts to end the episode, does?
Of course. Okay, not quite Adam's apple facts. I tried to find Adam's apple facts, but as you may guess, there are not many of them. They are not widespread. So I've just got some human body facts.
Oh, this is going to be
plenty.
This is going to be juicy.
Okay, so number one. Did you know that women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Obviously, looking at handsome studs like me.
Oh my God, he's confident today, isn't he?
I'm feeling, do you know what? All this talk of human bodily facts. No, so really, women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm no reasoning because it's just a fact and it's not.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. Maybe we can take it for another episode.
Maybe. Why do women's hearts beat faster than men's? I don't know. Who knows?
That could be a Lady Gaga song. Why do women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Or like,
why do women's hearts
Or like, what's that Miley Cyrus song that's in the charts at the moment? Nothing hurts like a broken heart or something?
Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, you ready for our next fact?
Yeah, I guess.
So leaving from how women are classed and their hearts beat faster to the smallest cell in a man's body.
Oh, brain cell.
Sperm cell.
Sperm cell.
Is the smallest cell in a man's body.
Really? Tiny little sperm.
Tiny little sperm. Okay, one more.
Go on. Okay.
On average, I say this is more for you and I, Marcus, but on average, a person says 4,800 words in 24 hours.
Oh, it's definitely more. for both of us.
Yeah. Well, lovely listener, there you have it. That is all you need to know about Adam and the Adam's apple and why women are class.
Caroline Vickers from Wisconsin, I hope that answers your question. And the next time you see a pronounced load of laryngeal cartilage, you'll be like, oh, I know what's up there.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you like what you heard, then good news, we have over 80 episodes. We have answered every kind of question that you could possibly imagine. If you listen to all of the episodes, you will be a more interesting dinner party guest.
And sexier, because knowledge is power. If you like what we're doing, please help us spread the good word about In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Tell your friends, tell your work colleagues, tell the person you fancy that you swiped right on Tinder and got a match. Tell your granny. Tell somebody you see walking your dog. Tell somebody you see walking your cat. Just tell everybody.
Believe it or not, the growth of podcasts grow really through word of mouth. So by you just recommending this podcast to a couple of friends, you would be doing us a massive favour.
Next week's episode is actually going to be what this week's episode was supposed to be. Basically, I started looking into it and realised that it was too big an episode to just casually throw together. So I really wanted to do this properly. Next week's episode is going to go back to, is veganism really the best diet for the planet?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out.
This morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning, had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Early in the morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
It's spring in Montreal, and it's time for the flower distribution in the City of Flowers. Soon, everything from the city gardens to our community gardens and homes will be filled with luscious new plants. To find out how you can participate and get your flowers, we're going to speak with one of the organizers of the flower distribution. With us today, we have Clément Badra. Hi, Clément, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Shala. Thank you for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you became involved in flower distribution in Montreal.
Yeah, thank you. So a bit about myself. I'm a young citizen that is basically looking for any way possible to have an impact and a way to act on the needs that we need to on the changes that we need to make as a society. And, you know, distributing flowers to people that are interested in having those is one of the ways that that can help. I actually got involved with the flower distribution in Montreal through the organization called Les Amis du Champ des Possibles, since I'm on the board of this organization. And we're technically the organization that's more in charge of a green space, in co-managing green space with the Borough of the Plateau and environmental organization. And because of that environmental knowledge that we have and that we take wherever we go, we're kind of asked if we're willing to help the borough with the distribution of the flowers. And that's how I got involved in that distribution.
What is the history of flower distribution in Montreal?
So I believe it started back in the 80s when there was this movement in general in cities that we needed to make cities more beautiful to the eye and to citizens. Also in Montreal, it actually became a distribution organized by the borough back in 2001. It became a program that started being implemented in different boroughs of the city. And between 2001 and 2007, there was some help from the central city in terms of providing plants and flowers and things like that. But since 2007, I think now it's only on the borough's side to do everything from ordering to organizing the distribution.
Where will you be distributing flowers this year?
So for myself, I'll be on Saint-Viateur Street in the Mile-End between Waverly and the Esplanade. For the borough of the Plateau, there are three different locations depending on where, on what district you live in. And you can find that information online, but there are also distributions in almost every borough of the city. Sometimes at the same time, sometimes at another date, but most boroughs in Montreal have a spot where they organize. And for myself, for the Mile-End, it'll be on Rue Saint-Viateur between Waverly and Esplanade.
When will the distribution be taking place?
So for us, it'll be on the 29th of May, between 10 and 3. So it's right next Saturday, I believe.
What kind of plants and products will you be distributing?
So we have different types of plants. That's one of the things also that we're very proud of this year as Les Amis du Champ, is the diversity, because one of the things that we preach as an organization that's trying to protect biodiversity in the city is the importance of having a wide variety of plants to be able to serve nature around us. So we have annual plants and perennial plants. The annual plants, we have Cosmos, Starlight Rose, the Nicotiana, Star Maker Light, the Zinnia, Queen Red Lime. So those are the annual plants that we have. But I'm a big fan of the perennial because they come back every year and they're more adapted to our climate as well. And so we have Yarrows, Oxeye Daisy, Blue Giant Hyssop, and Bluewood Aster. So those are the plants we have. And we usually also have mulch and compost that is available for anyone that can that has something to bring it back with them. So if anyone comes with something to pick that up, it's available as well to be able to create a nice spot for the plants to grow where wherever you want to put them. And some boroughs also have actually vegetable crops, such as tomatoes, strawberry plants, those kind of things as well. So that depends on the borough, but you can find that information most of the time online on the website or on the Facebook page of the borough.
How many plants can you get? Can you get enough plants to plant a community garden plot?
So, yeah, you could feel, depending on what flower you choose, you might have not exactly the same number. So, example, I think you can have 24 annuals and 6 perennials, or 6 perennials. It's usually, if you have a community garden plot, the best thing to do would be to mix and match between your flowers and your vegetable crops, because you'll be able to bring in pollinators that are looking for the flowers, and they'll be very happy to pollinate the flowers in your vegetable crops as well, so that you have more fruits and vegetables coming out at the end of the season.
What are the advantages of building your home gardens?
There are a ton of them. So outside of the fact that it's a super way to stay outside, spend some time outside and do other things, especially in the days where we've had some social distancing to respect, it's a good way to be able to do an activity that doesn't necessarily mean that you have contact with a lot of people. But it also being part of the solution as a citizen, because when you create your own garden, besides the fact that you can get food out of it, you create a space where it's going to be food for animals that live in the city. And I'm mostly talking about pollinators. Not only bees, although we do have 350 species of bees in Quebec that are local to Quebec and that need those local plants to be able to live properly, but there are a ton of other insects that need those and that are really, really, really looking for them in the city. And cities that are becoming kind of heaven for biodiversity compared to the rural areas where pesticides are used in agriculture. So one of the advantages that you get is that you're helping populations of animals that might not be receiving a lot of help otherwise. And you're able to get some of your own fresh vegetables as well, if you're able to try that. And you don't need a lot of space either, even on the balcony, it's very manageable.